get back here on Saturday night and be in church on Sunday morning. I'm praying about what to try to do about that, whether to go or just stay here. I hate to avoid Brother Brock, but I hate to try to make that trip all the way down there and back, or I hate, you know, the alternative of missing the church being here on next week. I don't want to do that. So you pray about that for Brother Hall. I'd appreciate it. And I'll let you know what we're going to do on Tuesday so we can make plans if we have decided to leave. I don't think I'm going, to be quite honest, but I want you to pray about it. All right, Psalm number 45, fellas, in your Bibles this morning. And
again, we're
going to read several verses here out of Psalm number 45. And beginning in verse number 1, the psalmist said, "My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and alloys and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad." Now, we'll put off reading right there and ask God to help us for just a little while here this morning. Our Father, I'm thankful now for the privilege of being in Sunday school. Thank you for thy word that you've given for instruction to the child of God. And Lord, that in our life we may honor you and to glorify you and to live a victorious life for thee in this evil and adulterous and sinful generation. I pray that you'll help us now, that you'll sanctify our hearts unto God, separate us from the world, bless us and touch us. Lord, may you anoint us likewise with the great joy of the Lord. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, fellas, I'm going to be honest this morning. The more I study and read in Psalm 45, the deeper this thing gets. And I've come to realize it's just about, praise God, deeper than my little mind can get to the bottom of. I'd intended, you know, during these next three Sundays, including last week, to deal with the Lord in His reign and looking at His government, and then today at His gladness, and then on next Sunday, I'd intended to look at His garments out of verse number 8. But I began to study this thing about Him being anointed with the oil of gladness above His fellow. And I'm afraid we're going to have to deal with that in two separate weeks because of the depth of it. I'm telling you, this is a wonderful, wonderful passage of Scripture that looks forward to our Lord and His reign upon the earth. I'm going to tell you one thing that makes it so wonderful is that you and I are going to be reigning with Him. I'm glad, thank God, that we're not left out, but we're heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to be ruling and reigning upon this earth with the Lord. Now, if you remember last week, I dealt with the Lord in His government. If He is a king, then that necessitates the fact of Him having a government. And we dealt with the prophecy of that government, the perpetuity of that government, and the purity of that government, the prosperity of that government, and the power of that government. Now, the two verses that we're primarily dealing with, verses 6 and 7, are read or quoted again by the writer in the book of Hebrews, where the psalmist said, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now, I want you to note here that our Lord is to have the preeminence, gentlemen, in all things concerning the church. Now, you get a hold of that. He is the preeminent one in the house of God. It's not the pastor. It's not the deacons. It's not a Sunday school board. It's not those that sing special music. It's not the traveling evangelist, nor is it the traveling singing group. It's not the choir leader, nor the choir. But our Lord is to have preeminence in the house of God. And the reason of that, gentlemen, is He is the first and the last. He is the first begotten of the Father, and He's full of grace and truth. God has given Him a name which is above every name, that at that name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that's right. And He is the preeminent one. Now, if He's to have the preeminence in the church, then it would be a necessary thing that that preeminence would include the joy of the Lord. Now, you need to get a hold of that. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I've seen a lot of men shout and praise God, and I've seen a lot of men that apparently have a great deal of Christian joy in their heart. Well, I want you to know, my friend, that our Lord exceeds them in joy because God hath anointed Him with the oil of gladness above His fellows, those companions of His. Those laborers of His, those that have taken His yoke upon them and have become laborers together with God, our Lord exceeds them in gladness. And He does that because the Lord has anointed Him with the oil of gladness above His fellows. Now, let me say this by way of introduction, that in the Oriental feast, in the days of our Lord, and I could illustrate that by Saul, when Saul was anointed. But in the days of our Lord, or in Israel's custom, a man that attended a feast, if he was an important dignitary, or was a man of great wisdom, a man of great, shall we say, stature amongst his brethren, if he was an important individual, that man would be anointed with oil at that feast. If you remember in the days of Saul, when Samuel went up to anoint Saul as king over Israel, I'd say that the fact that a man is a king, my friend, is a very important thing. And the feast that Saul and was invited to was a very important feast. And it was there that Samuel anointed him as king over all Israel. Well, I want to say to you that a greater than Saul is here, brethren. In fact, he himself said a greater than Solomon is here, brethren. And he's not been anointed by some earthly monarch, neither by some earthly priest nor prophet, but he has been anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows by God Almighty, thy God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now, everybody look right here. There are two different anointings in the Word of God. There is anointing that inaugurates a man, such as the anointing that comes upon a preacher. Now, I want to say this. I've said it before. I'll say it again. My friend, if you're called to preach and you have never experienced the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God, you better sit on the pew a while and wait on God to anoint you with that heavenly dew from heaven that will equip you and enable you to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus with power and with the Holy Ghost upon you. There is an anointing, my friend, of God that inaugurates one or places one into the service of God. If you've read in Matthew's gospel, our Lord Jesus was anointed at His baptism. John baptized the Lord Jesus in the river of Jordan,
and there was a dove, a holy dove. By the way, somebody said, what is that dove? It is the Holy Ghost of God, gentlemen. Oil in the Bible is a type of the Spirit of God. And may I say that our Lord was anointed with the Holy Ghost and received the Spirit of God without measure. You cannot measure the Spirit's anointing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But when John Baptist baptized him in Jordan, our Lord, a spirit, a dove, the Spirit of God, descended from heaven upon the Lord Jesus and anointed him, inaugurating him, preparing him for his earthly ministry that he had upon the earth. I don't want to get into all this, but the first thing that anointing did was led him in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. I'm telling you, friend, until you've been tried by God, tempted by the devil, overcome both, you're not going to be worth a flip of a used booger in the service of God. It is necessity, my friend, that a man that has been anointed be tempted of the devil, overcome that sin, be tried of God, amen, and come out victorious that he might have the power of God upon him to be used of God in his service.
But there's another anointing of God. And that anointing, this anointing of God, is when the service is ended and we're resting from our labors. There's another anointing that comes, my friend, when this thing closes out. And Jesus, hey, for the joy that was set before him. Did you get that? The joy that was set before him. For God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God with that oil of gladness upon his soul. Amen to God. And he, my friend, is preeminent in a glad spirit and a joyful spirit among all of us that will ever be saved by his grace. Now, I will say this to you. If our Lord has the oil of gladness, how much more should you and I? He that needed no redemption has received the oil of gladness. How much more should you and I that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and received the person of the Holy Ghost? How much more should you and I be glad and joyful and happy in God today? Amen. Somebody said, oh, but Brother Hall, there's so many things in the world. Yes, but I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, brethren, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things in heaven, nor things in the earth, nor things beneath the earth, nor any other creature, my friend, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, let us rejoice, because the same Holy Ghost that hath anointed him with gladness has likewise anointed you and I. Amen to God. Oh, I'm telling you, thanks be unto God. That's right. His gladness. You think that our Lord's going to be a deadbeat down in the mouth and a mully grubber in his millennial reign? No, sir. No, sir. Son, he's got a smile on his face right now. Amen. I've read the New Testament where it said in that spirit, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in his spirit. I've read where David, who is the type of our King, rejoiced when they brought up the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God. My friend, if you can't get happy and be glad over the presence of God, you've got a real problem concerning your salvation down in your soul. That's right. Now, I want you to notice something. At an Oriental feast, oil was poured upon the heads of distinguished and very welcome guests. I'd say he's pretty distinguished. About as welcome as anybody could be. God himself anoints the man Christ Jesus. As he sits at the heavenly feast, he anoints him as a reward for his work with higher and fuller joy than any else can know.
Thus the Son of Man is honored and rewarded for his pain. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that that oil of gladness above his fellows, my friend, was given him by God for a reward for those things that he suffered upon this earth. I want to say to you this morning, friend, no pain, no gain. Amen. No suffering, no joy. That's the way she goes. No suffering, no victory, no victory, no gladness, no gladness, no strength, no strength, defeated and whooped. I'm telling you, it's time. Bless the Lord that we that have been to Calvary and been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb demonstrate the fact that Christ Jesus is our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen! That's right, glory to God. I know he is. He was rewarded. You see, that's why I said we want to break this thing down. That oil of gladness that he's been anointed with, it looks back to what he's already accomplished. But it looks forward also to what he's yet going to experience. In fact, it says in verse 7, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, and by the way, lovest and hatest is not just in the past tense, my friend. It is in the present tense. I want you to know that God, that our Lord Jesus always has hated wickedness. He did in his earthly ministry. He did before he came to this earth. He did on the earth, and he does now that he's left the earth. He cannot stand sin. But he's always loved righteousness. And he always shall love righteousness. And because of his hatred in one direction and his love in another direction, God, even his God, anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellows. My friend, he'll display that gladness to you and I in the kingdom.
Yes.
That's right. Thanks be unto God. Amen. God has rewarded him. He has rewarded him. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what's he rewarded him for? I want everybody to listen now. He's rewarded him, number one, for a perfect life.
Amen.
Gentlemen, it pays to live right.
Yes.
Hear what I said? It pays to live right. Somebody, I'm telling you, Baptists today, I really believe, live under the idea that I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. Therefore, let come what may in my life, I'll just live any old way. I'll drop my standards. I'll let down my convictions. I'll compromise a little bit with the world. I'll snuggle up to the world, rub shoulders with the world, love the world a little bit. But I'm telling you, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in that man. Gentlemen, there is still reward for living a perfect life.
Yes.
For doing simply what is right, my friend.
Yes.
I want you to listen to this quote by George Harper. George Harper said, many a one loves righteousness, but would not be its companion. I said, amen, George, whoever George is. That's right. There's a whole lot of folks love righteousness, but they don't want to be its companion. I'm telling you that this week, gentlemen, I saw the very height of hypocrisy and ungodliness and wickedness on the front page of the Messenger newspaper. There stood old John Paul, whatever he is, and all of that mess that he wears, all that religious garb that he thinks makes him holy. And I'm going to tell you that if there's any hole in him at all, it's in his underwear or his socks. He ain't holy nowhere. That egg sucker is about as wicked a man as ever walked in shoe leather upon God's green earth. And there he is, sitting right beside Slick Willie, and both of them are grinning and a smiling and an embracing, and Clinton calling him Holy Father. Holy Father. And Holy Father stood and said, made a statement, and he said, abortion is next to slavery. And as slavery was abolished, so must abortion be abolished. And right standing beside him was the chief baby killer of the world. I'm telling you, my friend, if you think that God loved that mess, you're dumber than a box of rocks. He loves righteousness, but he hates wickedness, and he cannot stand. He despises hypocrisy. I know that's right. Oh, Harper said, many a one loves righteousness, but would not be its companion. Such a love is not Christ's love. Many a one hates iniquity, but not for its own sake, but for its consequences. I want to ask you something today, friend. What do we really hate sin for? For what it is, or for its consequences in our life? Boy, that ought to get our little old mind to thinking. Oh, somebody said, I hate sin. Well, I'm glad you do. But I'm going to tell you, they are iniquity. I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of folk living out there that don't like or they hate iniquity or unrighteousness. But they don't hate it because of what it is. They hate it because of the circumstances that it brings upon their life. Somebody said, give me an illustration. I've known people in my life, friend, that'll stand up, that'll look at their children that's drinking and roguing and card playing and gambling and committing adultery and living in sin. And they don't like what their children have done at all. But in their own life, they went back and did the same thing and never thought a thing about it, my friend. They are reaping what they sowed. Amen. It's not that they hate that kind of a life, but they hate what that kind of a life has brought upon them.
No, that's right. Now stay with me. He said, but for the sake of its consequences. Such a hate is not Christ's hate. To be like Christ, we must love righteousness as He loved it. And to hate wickedness as He hated it. To love and to hate as He loves and hates is to be perfect as He is perfect. The perfection of this love and hate is moral perfection. I'm here to tell you, my friend, we ought to love like He loved and hate like He hated. Oh, yes, somebody said, God, I never hated anything. I've got news for you. He said He hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And David said, I hate those things that God hates. Yes, sir, God hates every lying spirit and every lying tongue. And if we'll learn to hate as He hates and love as He loves, it'll perfect God's love in us and conform us to the image of Christ. Oh, that's right. And He was perfect in His life. Hallelujah to God.
Yes.
All right. Somebody said, Brother Hall, where was He perfect in His life? I want to say, number one, He was perfect in His obedience.
Amen.
Perfect, gentlemen, in His obedience. John 8:29, and He that sent me, this is Jesus talking, and He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. Why not? For I do always those things that please Him.
Amen.
He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Yes.
Paul said in Hebrews that even though He were a son, yet through the sufferings He learned obedience,
yes,
and became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey Him.
Yes.
Mark her down, my friend, that the very test or evidence,
yes,
of our salvation is whether we're obedient to what the Bible has to say. I'm going to say we got a whole lot of hearers of the Word and not too many doers. Got a whole lot of folk talking about the Word, but not many folks are walking the Word. It's one thing to talk the talk. It's another thing to walk the walk. And I'm not talking about a WWJD. I'm talking about KJV 1611. Amen. That's another thing I'm about fed up with. WWJD. I saw a fellow the other day, had the hair plumb down his shoulder and was dressed like a devil. Had a big shirt on, said WWJD. I started to say the first thing he'd do is get a haircut and get some clothes on.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm fed up. I'm sick of that mess. WWJD. What would Jesus do? I'm going to tell you. They're trying to do what Jesus do, but they ain't never read the Bible to find out what He's already done.
Yeah.
He's already went to Calvary and paid their sin debt, and they don't have enough sense to realize that His righteousness will make them righteous. That's right. He was perfect in His obedience, brethren, and God rewarded him for that. God anointed him with the oil of gladness. What is that furnace setting on, Jerome? You turn it up? My God, it's hot enough in here to roast a pig. Man. He was perfect in His obedience. He did always those things that pleased God. Brethren, can we say, can we do that? Can we do always those things that please God? Huh? Hey, you better be ready for the unexpected. You never know what God is going to do. You never know when you're going to be tested in your obedience to God. And you never know how you're going to be tested. I want to tell you this, and I want the church to know it, because I don't know what all's going to become out of it, but I want you to know exactly what I'm getting ready to tell you. That's why I'm telling you, I'm putting it on tape, because I'm not afraid of what it is. I don't know how to handle it, but I ain't afraid of it. Several months ago, Brother Steve Pleasant had a businessman in this community to call me about some pocket knives. You remember that, Brother Steve? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And that man called me and said, meet me in my office. I want to show you these pocket knives. I went down and looked at them knives. I said, how much you want for them knives? I'm a big-time buyer, you know. I was getting ready to go. He said, $60,000. I reeled and rocked on. I about fell down. I said, Lord, I said, sir, I'd love to have your knives. I said, I don't have $60,000. We rolled the knives back up, and he gave me one of his club knives. Pearl Handle, Fight and Rooster pocket knife. Good pocket. Give it to me. I said, you know, I don't want it. He said, I want you to have that. Hey, the other day, gentlemen, that man called me out of the clear blue. He said, hey, said, I've had my knives down in Tennessee. I couldn't get rid of them. Said, but said, there's going to be a man that's going to be at a knife show in Louisville. And said, I want you to come there and pick up my pocket knives. I'll pay you X amount of money if you'll just carry my pocket knives over and sell them. And I thought, man, that sounds strange. Why won't he carry them over and sell them? I said, why won't he carry them over and sell them? And look here. And so I went down and met that fella. And son, he had his green Suburban or GM's, whatever it was, backed up. He said, well, you got to load him in. I said, my van. He said, load him in. And I said, sir, don't you want to inventory these knives? Have you inventoried them? Do you know? He said, I ain't inventoried them. I don't know how many knives is there. I said, how much you, he's worn out of these knives. He said, I want about $65 a knife right down the board. I said, well, how many of them are they? He said, maybe 500 or 600. I said, sir, that is not $60,000 that you told me some time ago. He said, well, say I got $660 a knife. That's $36,000. He said, take your percent out of it. Bring me the rest, whatever. I said, then you just want to sell them all straight down the board? And you just want me to sell them, period. And if I can't sell them, just roll the knives up, bring them back to you. He said, no. He said, if you can't sell them that way, show them. Put them on display somewhere. Try to sell. And he said, my daughter's here. I've got to go. I'll see you. I said, sir, do you trust me with these? He said, oh, yeah. He said, just take them and go on. I'm telling you, my friend, I don't know what God's a doing, but I'm here to tell you I've got about $50,000 worth of pocket knives in my safe and don't really know what I'm supposed to do with all of them. Huh? But what I'm saying, brethren, hey, that man don't know what he's got. Don't you know the way I love pocket knives? The old devil ain't said, Hall, be kind of easy right here to cash in big time, boy. He'd never know it, Hall. He wouldn't miss a dozen, 15, just ease them on. I'm here to tell you, my friend, you never know when God is going to test you and try you in your obedience to that Bible, in your integrity, in the Word of God. But I made up my mind, they're going to be fair and square right down the line, whatever happens. Huh? That is absolutely right. And Brother Steve knows a man very well, knows what I'm talking about. He's got more money and Carter's got little pills. Huh? I've never seen nothing like it. Yeah, that's right. That ain't all he owns. Son, he's got it, what I'm saying. I mean, that man, he just said, just take them, get them out of here.
Amen to God. Brother Wayne, I got some of them back there for you to clean up. I've started cleaning. I don't know what I'm going to do with, but I'm telling you, obedience. You know, I'm telling you, hey, look here, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that I would not throw my reward to the dogs for ever speaking pocket knife in all the world. They ain't worth it. I want that oil of gladness. I prayed last night and this morning and yesterday and asked God to touch me one more time with His Spirit and let me enjoy my salvation in God. I would not trade the touch of God on my life for all the money in all this world, gentlemen. I'm telling you, I've got joy down in my soul. I'm glad, I'm happy in Jesus today. I've been to Calvary and born again. I have been anointed with the oil of gladness. Thanks be unto God. Now, He's perfect in His obedience. I want to say He was perfect in His offices. Huh? Perfect in His offices. Somebody said, what offices are you talking about? Prophet, priest, and king. What do you think? He had not one flaw in all three of them. Now, and I want to say something here in just a minute, gentlemen. I hope you can get a hold of it. He was perfect in His offices. As prophet, He was perfect in His instruction. Gentlemen, not one thing. Hey, I'm telling you, did He ever say in that Bible right there that you can gain things? It's wrong. It's not. There's not a mistake in it. There's no wrong teaching in it. If a man will follow it, God will do it exactly in that Bible. The problem today is that people don't want to follow the Bible. That's why homes are on the rocks, families on the rocks, marriages being divorced, splitting up and all that mess. Nobody wants to put their faith in the Bible. I'm telling you, that Bible will instruct you in righteousness, buddy. It'll keep a home together. It'll put a marriage together. It'll keep joy in the home. It'll keep joy in the heart. It'll keep joy at the house of God, because God, even thy God, has anointed it all with the oil of gladness. No, that's right. Hallelujah to God. Listen what He said. He said in the Sermon on the Mount, He opened His mouth and taught them as prophet His earthly ministry. As prophet, gentlemen. I'm telling you, He said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And He said, this is the great law, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, body, soul, and strength, and to love thy neighbors thyself on them too. That law being all the laws and the prophets.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, you can say what you want to say. You can call me an old sorry mush mouth, charismatic or whatever you want, but I'm telling you, gentlemen, we've missed a boat in this thing called L-O-V-E.
Amen.
Without a doubt. He taught them. He taught them as prophet. He opened His mouth and taught them. On the road to Emmaus, after His resurrection, and those two men walked and were despondent, their hearts were filled with sorrow as they communed with one another. And as when the Lord drew near to them, and yet in His presence, they knew not who He was. But in verse 27, at the beginning, Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures all things concerning Himself. I'm telling you, my friend, somebody said, how did He know the Word so well? Because He was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. How can He make a mistake, my friend, when He wrote Himself? You can't make a mistake of writing yourself. I didn't say writing about yourself. I said writing yourself. Hallelujah to God. You and I may sit down and write some things about us and have a tendency to lie a little bit. But He didn't write about Himself. He wrote Himself. What He is, what He shall ever be, He wrote. That's right, ain't it? How wonderful. How wonderful. Perfect in His offices of prophet. He was perfect in His office as priest. As priest, He is perfect in His intercession. Now, I want everybody to look right up here at Brother Hall. It was in that office that Jesus died. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, He didn't become a priest till after He rose and ascended back to the right hand of God. Wrong.
Amen.
you're wrong. Because it was the priest's responsibility to prepare the sacrifice and to offer that sacrifice. It was the priest's responsibility to carry the blood into that Holy of Holies once a year and offer that blood.
Yeah.
Now look here. You think he ain't wonderful and perfect in that office? Well, enough the batting time, brethren. Hallelujah to God. Not only, brethren, was he perfect as the priest that offered the sacrifice, but he was the perfect sacrifice that he himself offered.
What do you think Paul was talking about when he said after he offered himself? Can you get a hold of that? He offered himself. Just like the priest would pick up that little lamb and lay it on that altar and put the fire to it, he himself picked himself up, laid himself on the altar. He said, I lay my life down that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down that I might take it up again. And he offered himself to God as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world without spot and without blemish. He was perfect in his intercession.
Because he was, Brother Steve, God, even thy God, hath anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellows. That's good, ain't it? I'm going to tell you, I fell off the wagon on this one over to house Friday. I just fell plumb off, boy. I let the mule slap out of the barn, son. Huh? Now, I'm going to tell you what it was here in a minute if the Lord will give me the liberty to. I'm going to tell you where I fell off. If God will let me. If he don't, I won't. It's holy. It's holy. 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 And I'm telling you, friend, if you was to get out and say a whole lot about it, there'd be some men call you an absolute fool. That's right, but it's right. I know it's right because when I spoke it in my own heart, God said, that's how much I love you and that's what I'm going to do for you. Now, I'll get to it in just a minute. Listen what he said, my friend, in 1 Peter 1:18. He said, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, the silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. I'm here to tell you, my friend, he's perfect in the priesthood, in his intercession. Mark it down. I want to say, number one, in his intercession, he was perfect on the tree. Woo! Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn. A sign for sinners, death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Precious Redeemer, oh blessed Redeemer. I love him, I love him, I love him. Hallelujah to God, I love him. Seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, woo! Dying for me, hallelujah to God, he died for me, glory to God. Perfect on the tree. Perfect on the tree, John. No wonder God said, yours is a perfect sacrifice. Now sit down while I take the vessel of oil and anoint thee at this festivity that we're engaging in. Somebody said, what is the festivity?
coming. Yeah. He's coming, boys. Look at that. Look at that, Leroy. You even need to see that, Leroy. Look good. Hallelujah to God. At that festivity. Hey! Oh, yes, God, even thy God shall anoint him with the oil of gladness that burns his fellows.
Gotta rest a minute. That's rough on a man with a bad heart. Doctor told me the other day, said you got a bad heart. I said, Doc, you using the wrong examination tool. I said, you need to probe a little deeper. I want to say, gentlemen, he was perfect in his intercession on the throne. Huh? Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's perfect there. You know why he is? Look here. Because he was in all points tempted as we are, and yet without sin. That is perfection, gentlemen. Oh, I'm telling you. If you would make this statement, some places they'd run you out of town. But I'm here to tell you, gentlemen, we've got a perfect man at the right hand of God the Father. Yes, sir, I said it. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Someone said, how can that be? Well, that can be because he's God. And God can do whatever he wants to. If God wants to be God and a man too, God can be God and a man too. Hallelujah to God. If he wants to dry up a Red Sea, he'll dry it up. If he wants to bring the walls of a city down, he will. If he wants to dry up a river, he'll dry up a river. If he wants to send famine, he will. If he wants to send quail, he will. Some of you fellas having a hard time, look up. Maybe a blackbird hovering over your head right now. God, I'm about to get drunk. Amen. Gentlemen, I want to say he's perfect. He is perfect in the throne. He is perfect as king. Now look here. As prophet, he's perfect in instruction. As priest, he's perfect in intercession. As king, he's perfect in his integrity. You know what integrity means? Integrity comprehends the whole moral character, but has special references to uprightness in mutual dealings. In his mutual dealings, brethren. That's right. He is righteous in his mutual dealings. It ain't like no slick willy mess. I've never seen such a mess in the Senate. You know what's going to happen down there, fellas? They're going to divide the judicial branches of our government. That's right. They're going to let Slick Willie off the hook with a Senate compromise, and it's going to make our Congress look like a bunch of morons. They wanting to get him out, Jerry. That's more than I can say for Trent Lott and that bunch. Hey, God, you mark her down, though. If he escapes the judgment of the Senate, I'll tell you one judgment he won't escape. God's judgment. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. He'll get it. Now, I want to say, gentlemen, that not only was he perfect in his life and was rewarded for being perfect, but he was rewarded for his passion. I'm talking about his death. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Amen. He was rewarded, brethren, for the pain that he endured on the cross. Boy, but here's the one God got my... I want to say he was rewarded for his prayers. Amen. Brethren, it pays to pray.
Amen.
Huh? Listen to what the Bible says. Hebrews 5:7, who in the days of his flesh when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him who was that was able to save him from death, and was heard.
Amen.
That he feared. He was heard. His prayers did not go unnoticed by God.
Amen.
Now, gentlemen, don't nobody leave me right here. Please. I know them women's out there, but don't leave me right here. Rewarded for his prayer. Do you know where I think that Paul's talking about? What prayer I think he's talking about in chapter 5, verse 7? He's got to be talking about John 17 in the Lord's intercessory prayer. He's got to be. I looked at that prayer. Notice this. Notice this. He prayed, gentlemen, that his joy would be fulfilled in us. John 17:13. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled.
Amen.
In them.
Yes.
Brethren, let me ask you something. Has he fulfilled his joy in you?
Amen.
What have you got to be happy about today? Has he fulfilled? That's right.
Amen.
God rewarded him for that.
Amen.
In that he heard. Now, if God heard that prayer of Jesus that his joy be fulfilled in us, then where on God's name is our joy?
Yes.
Be upon us.
Amen.
Brethren, I'm going to say something. You can get a hold of that.
Right.
Listen to what it said in John 17:22. And I say this, and I wrote in my notes, humbly, please. I won't say this humbly as I can. And the glory, this is Jesus praying now to God for you and I. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them.
Amen.
You get a hold of that. Jesus said, Father, the same glory that you gave to me, I have given them. Gentlemen, we have obtained the same glory that our Lord Jesus possesses. Oh. Matt, I'm telling you, that wipes me out. That just wipes. And look here. And you know the reason why that we've got that glory? Listen what he says. Listen, listen, listen. That they may be one.
Amen.
Even as we are one. Brethren, ladies, if you can get a hold of what I just told you,
yes,
it'll make you do a double backflip in your seat. God,
yes,
the Father, gave Jesus glory. Jesus has given that same glory unto you and
yes,
me. Look here. That we may be one just like they're one.
Yes.
And Benny, here's the thing that got me. Here's where I fell out of the seat. I said, Lord, if I'm one like you're one, like you and God are one. And I gripped my mouth and I said, that would make me a God. And Jesus said, have not I written in my word that ye are all gods?
Amen.
And I, Brother Chris, I fell from out of my chair. I began to cry. I couldn't imagine that kind of glory. That God has given me His glory upon me. And I fell out of that chair and I said, Lord, that cannot be right. Because I'm human and I'm humanity. And I said, what if I puff up with pride and jealousy like Satan did? He said, if you're like me, you can't. Because you're one. As me and the Father are one. You're just like God, he said. Without spot and without wrinkle and without blemish before God. Somebody said, Brother Hall, how can that be? Grace! Grace! Brethren, grace hath made us kings and priests unto God, our Father! I'm telling you, if you can get a hold of that,
yes,
son, it'll help you. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have, not will, not maybe, I have given them.
Amen.
For what reason, Lord? That they may be one, even as we are one.
Yes.
I and my Father are one. Can you get a hold of where God has brought you from to that O? Gentlemen, look here. I don't want to get into next week, but let me tell you something. Somebody said, how much does God love me? You listen to me real well. Hey, do you think that Adam loved Eve before she was deceived and became a transgressor in the eyes of God? Adam, she was Adam's bride. And I've got news for you. Before sin entered into her, she was absolutely perfect in her moral character. And Adam loved her as a perfect being. But I'm going to tell you, when she was deceived and disobeyed God and stepped out into sin, she separated herself from Adam and got far, 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 far away from Adam. And Adam looked at that blessed bride of his in her imperfect state, a sinner, knowing that she had died and was living in death. And yet Adam had such marvelous, wonderful, glorious love for his bride, my friend, that he himself voluntarily became sin that he might express his love for her and be with her. You hear me well? Jesus looked at you and I, my friend. Amen. When we were perfect, yet before we were ever formed. That is right. But my friend, we're sinners all out of the loins of Adam, and we are his bride, and he looked at us in our state of sinfulness and ungodliness, amen to God, and he voluntarily was made to be sin for you and I because of his wonderful love for us. And look here, when he brought us out, he said, now I'm going to make you just like me. Huh? Somebody said, Brother Hall, that's silly, is it now? When old Moses sat down on the mountaintop up there in the presence of God and stayed there so long, or writing them tables of stone, and when he come down off of that mountain, I tell you, gentlemen, it actually happened.
Amen.
I'm not preaching a myth or something that's just a little illustration in the Bible.
Amen.
Moses walked down off of that mountain and the people of Israel said, cover his face, for his face shines with the glory of God.
Yeah.
Now, I'm here to tell you, Paul said, if the ministration of the law was that glorious, how much more glorious is the ministration of the Spirit of God in the dispensation we're living in?
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something. If you think that's glorious and this is glorious, wait till you get to heaven.
Woo!
Oh, that's right. Hallelujah to God. It's like that song says that old brother Brownlow, but Jesus in a robe of white. Hallelujah. He's a coming in a robe of white, and you and I are clothed in his blessed, glorious image with the same glory that God had before the foundation of the world. I can see it's a soaking on you. I'm glad. Hallelujah to God. And then he was rewarded for those prayers. When he prayed that we'd have fellowship in his presence, John 17:24, he said, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovedest me before the foundation of the world. I will that they also may be with me where I am. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what's going to make heaven heaven? I'm going to tell you what's going to make heaven heaven. Buddy Jesus is going to be there, Brother Steve. I want to see him. I'm longing to see him. I asked Brother Rodney Proctor Friday. I said, Rodney, do you ever think about dying or Sharon, Carolyn dying and y'all being separated? He said, well, I try not to think about it. I said, but do you ever think about it?
He said, I try not to think about it. I said, but do you ever think about it? He said, well, yes. I think about it all the time. Are you hearing me? I think about it all the time. Somebody said, you must be morbid thinking about dying. Oh, no. Oh,
yeah.
No. Not at all. Not that I'm looking to be separated from my sweetheart. But, oh, I'm here to tell you.
Yeah.
The whole white glory awaits the child of God.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, and God anointed him.
Hey.
With the oil and gladness above his fellows. And church, if you've really been to Calvary, been saved by the grace of God, he hath anointed you with an oil of gladness that he might give unto you the glory of God, and that you might have blessed fellowship in his divine presence, that where he is, there we may be also. Hallelujah to God. Oh, hallelujah to God, where he is. Wherever the carcass is, there, thither, shall the eagles be gathered together. I want to ask you something this morning. Are you an eagle? Or are you a stinking buzzard? Hallelujah to God. I want to be an eagle gathered, my friend, at the carcass of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to God. Let me ask you something this morning. Why are some of you so troubled? Why are your hearts... Somebody said, time for church. I know it is preaching time right now.
Yeah.
Amen to God. Why? Oh, troubled soul. Oh, soul. Are you troubled today? Why are you troubled? You know what preaching's about this morning? Preaching's about tumult or tranquility.
Amen.
What do you have today? Are you in turmoil? Or do you have tranquility? Are you nervous and upset? Or do you have tranquility? I'm telling amen to God. Jesus, my friends, been anointed with that oil of gladness. He's anointed us with that oil of gladness. We ought to have great peace in our hearts. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them.